So today, you know what? Today is a significant day to me because it's the last Sunday of the year. And we are actually heading into the new year, right? So this is our last Sunday. And this is also, we're closing out our Advent series today. I know Advent precedes Christmas. But this is the end of our Advent series. It's kind of the last sermon of the year. Well, kind of, it is. And I kind of struggled with this a little bit because it's sort of, I mean, if you've been walking with the Lord a long time, you should probably know what I'm about to preach about. But my hope and prayer is that there's something in here that you can use in your conversations with people when you're out and about. You know, maybe there's a verse or there's a scripture or there's a phrase or there's a sentence that will come out. You're like, oh, I've heard this before. And you will help somebody else. Or maybe you're here and this is going to be a totally new message for you. Or maybe you're here and this is things that you're struggling with. And obviously, we hope that it will help you with in life. But my hope and prayer is that Jesus will present himself to each one of us in a new way in 2022, in the new year. Like, I was just talking to Paul Diani this morning, you know, about this new year. Like, we're all just kind of cracking the door open because, like, what does the next year have to offer, you know? I'm a little nervous too. What are we going to deal with that we haven't dealt with before? But what I want to do as a way of closing out this particular Advent series and also closing out the year is I want to tie two things together. I want to tie the Word. I want to show you how the Word is connected to reconciliation. Okay, so we touched on that last week, right? Reconciliation as a part of the Advent series. And as I was kind of thinking about that, actually, this wasn't the sermon that was supposed to be preached today. So I was kind of thinking about reconciliation and what exactly does that mean? Because, you know, what it means to me is that we need to be reconciled. What I said was, you cannot be reconciled to Jesus if you are not reconciled to those around you. We cannot be. I cannot be. If I have an issue with somebody and my relationship with them isn't restored as it is with Jesus, then there's a disconnect in my relationship with my Savior. If I can't love somebody around me the way that I love Jesus, there's a disconnect there. Even Jesus, as he was nailed to the cross, said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And you know what? If he can allow himself to be nailed to that cross, and if he can forgive the very people that did that to him while he is on the cross dying, we can forgive people around us because they probably don't know what they're doing. And even if they do, let's just say they're one of those rotten people that they know what they're doing. Well, then you need to figure that out and say, I'm not going to let that get to me. See, reconciliation means that we need to be reconciled to different people groups, people of different skin colors, people of different cultures, people of different nationalities. In the last, 5, 10 years, living in America, you better get used to different cultures. And we always say, well, they're coming to America, so they need to learn how to be an American. Well, yeah, but that's not who they are. Like, I don't expect somebody from you know, Afghanistan to come into my way of living and say, you need to be like me, because their identity is in who they are, right? So, obviously, they need to learn the customs and things of America, but their identity is rooted in who they are, who God created them to be. Does that make sense? So after thinking and praying about, you know, this past week, I one of the things that kind of made me shift the sermon here is because I think the Lord spoke to me and what we need to understand, or maybe even I need to understand, because it's a lot easier for me to like preach something and you know, try to convict somebody. But we're all in different places in life, right? Like some of us might have an easier time forgiving somebody, and some of us might have a harder time forgiving somebody. It all depends on the level of offense. We're all in different places, Ready? Ready? This is a meme. We're all in different places, and we all move at different paces. Huh? Somebody tweet that. We all move at different rates of speed, right? And how we deal with the things that around us. And reconciliation, though, with all people, it's not an option. Just like forgiveness is not an option. When we harbor unforgiveness towards another person, we are only damaging ourselves. And Jesus himself said, "My Father cannot forgive you if you cannot forgive others." That strikes pretty hard to my core. Jesus said, "You cannot be forgiven by God the Father if you cannot forgive others." Because while the cross isn't here anymore, we're gonna put it up, and I'll be referring to it somewhere. It's in the conference room right now. But while Jesus was on that cross, he forgave everybody that did that to him, and that helps me deal with that. Jesus alone, though. See, and here's the other thing. Our experiences in life shape who we are, right? Some of us have gone through some very traumatic things and had some very bad things happen to us, and it's shaped who we are. It shapes how we deal with things, maybe the slightest thing that was said to us, and it might bring back all those bad memories and stuff. You know, forgiving somebody doesn't mean that you have to forget everything that was done. We're human beings. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And here's the thing about that is, this is where Jesus comes in at. You know, if you struggle with that, if you struggle with things that have been done to you, and you're like, I just cannot forgive that person, you got to wrestle that out with Jesus. I call that wrestling. You got to wrestle that out with him. Because if you have an honest conversation with him, Jesus, you know what was done, and you know I cannot forgive that person, but you say I need to forgive them, and I don't want to forgive them, and I can't forgive them, but I need your help. See, that's the next sentence. In learning how to forgive them, he will slowly and surely, on your pace, begin to help you with that forgiveness. Because that's how Jesus works. He works on our pace. He doesn't expect us to do things quicker than we can deal with them. You know what I'm saying? That's who he is. He understands who we are. So, because he alone is the one who will help us with the obstacle of reconciliation. It is Jesus alone. By reconciling us to him first. And then he gives us the strength. He gives us everything we need to forgive and to offer grace to those around us. And what that does is that leads to restored relationships. Here's another thing about forgiveness and reconciliation. It doesn't mean that you have to go to that person and literally look them in the face and say, "I forgive you for what you've done to me." Because maybe you can't look at them. Again, it's a heart issue. You've got to work that out with Jesus. You've got to work that out with him. If you can go to that person, great. But if you can't, work it out with Jesus. And so this is why today's message is titled, "The Best News You'll Ever Hear." This is the best news you're ever going to hear here today at Vineyard Community Church. And we're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Then I want to jump down to verse 10. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. It's our salvation. It's our spiritual birth. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, the Word. There's two verses in this passage I want to dial in on. The first one and the last one. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, so the Word became human and made his home among us. I love this, because at the very start of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, he created. In the beginning, God created. What does John say? In the beginning, the Word existed. God spoke everything into existence. That's how kind of minute we are to him. He just spoke it into existence. And then it talks about, and then here John is telling us that in the beginning, the very beginning of it all, the Word already existed. John speaks of the Word as a person, and that everything was created through this Word. Well, who do you think that is? It's Jesus. You know, when you read the story of creation in Genesis, there's a little section in there that kind of gets a little weird, and it's God speaking, but then he says, we. I'm like, we? Who's we? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Well, how does that work? That's kind of the mind-boggling thing, the Trinity, right? And it's kind of hard to describe. I'm going to tell you how I had the aha moment. There's all kinds of different analogies, and when you grow up in church and you go to Sunday school, there's all kinds of little, you know, the light switch and the light bulb and the electricity. But I read this book. It was by a scientist, a Christian scientist, and he was into all this, like this deep stuff, like dimensions and all of this stuff. And here's how he explained it. He said, think of it like this. You can see three fingers, and let's take the pinky, the forefinger, and the thumb sticking out of the clouds. They look like three separate entities, and they each have their own function. But they're connected to the arm, which is connected to the body. So even though I have these digits on the end of my hands, they each have a different function. They're all connected to the same body. So when I read that, I was just like, oh, I get it. So I don't know if that helps you or not, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Word became human. Jesus, the very Word of God, came to earth to experience life as mankind knew it. He came out of heaven so that he could show mankind the love that God had for them. See, prior to this, there was the law that was written for the Jewish people, the Israelites, God's chosen people. And the law was really a list of do's and don'ts. It was pretty strict, but it was because God wanted to set them apart from all the pagan nations around them that were doing some pretty wicked things, sacrificing their children to gods and doing all of this just wicked stuff in their temples. And God wanted to set his people apart, and he made this list of things that they had to live by. And at the root of the whole thing was the condition of the person's heart. It wasn't so God could control them and say, here's what you do, here's what you don't do, you are now my people, oh, and by the way, I love you. It was a heart, it was a condition of the heart. Listen, if you do this, good things will happen. If you do that, bad things will happen. And so if you followed the rules and regulations God set out, which they never did, things would have gone well for them. But let's talk about even before that, the first people that God created, Adam and Eve. You know, they're the ones that caused this separation from God. That when John speaks of that rebirth, that second birth, that salvation, that's when we can come to Jesus and have a relationship with our Creator. See, Adam and Eve, God said, you guys can have all of this beautiful paradise. Adam named all the animals and plants and everything, and Eve was doing whatever it was Eve was doing, and Adam was like this, he was the dude. And Adam and Eve, they had a relationship with God. God would come into the garden and spend time with them. And he said, you can have all of this stuff to eat, fruits and vegetables and everything. Just don't, that tree right there, just stay away from that one. I would just don't go towards that one. Well, what did they do? That's exactly the one that they went to. They shouldn't have gone to, because the devil, the serpent, said, did he really say you shouldn't eat from that tree? And he was like, well, that's what he said. And then the devil, you know, well, you know why he said that? Because he doesn't want you to be like him. And this is what the devil's been doing all along, is he twists God's word. And they fell for it. And they ate the fruit. Then they realized they didn't have any clothes on. And when God came to visit them, they hid. And he said, where are you? And they said, you know, they come out from the bush. Well, why are you hiding? Because we realize we're naked. Well, who told you that? What's it? And then the first sacrifice happened. God had to make clothes for them out of an animal. And that was how he reconciled his relationship with them. But ever since then, there's been this separation between mankind and God. And it was all about trust. You see, when you begin not trusting the word of God, you begin rationalizing that what you're doing is okay. It's okay. Nobody knows I'm doing this. Nobody knows I'm visiting these websites. Nobody knows I'm sneaking out over here and hanging out with these friends. Nobody knows we're doing this together, because nobody knows but us. You begin rationalizing. It's okay. Did the Bible really say we can't do this? I mean, really? Jesus turned water into wine. I mean, we can go to the bar. You rationalize this stuff, right? It's what we do. We're human beings, and that's how the enemy gets into our heads. So the point I'm trying to make, though, God's plan was, at the right time, to become one of us, because sin of the mistrust separated us from God. So at the right time, he was going to become one of us, to take the penalty of sin upon himself. And by doing this, by allowing himself to be nailed to the cross, he restored the relationship between mankind and him. That's what happens. Jesus alone can forgive us of our sins. He's the only one that can do that. He's the only one. And because of this, God never, ever, ever gives up on us. He understands who we are. He created us. He knew that Adam and Eve was going to mess up. He gave them free will. He knew that, but he had a plan. Now, here's the other thing, too. It is up to us to accept him into our lives. You know, a lot of people believe that God is a good God and we're all going to go to heaven. Well, Jesus said, you cannot come to the Father except through me. There's only one way to get to heaven. It's through Jesus, a relationship with Jesus. He didn't go through what he went through on the cross, and we kind of hit that last week, so if you missed last week's, go online and watch that. He didn't do all of that just so that, you know, like, hey, it's cool, everybody can come on in. You got to have a relationship with me. There's restoration that needs to take place. You might say, well, that's not fair. Well, nobody said it was fair, but it's just. The thing about justice is it does the right thing at all times. Fair, that's a little bit different. So the Apostle Paul, he tells us this very same thing to the church in Corinth when he wrote this to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. You see, even the person who isn't walking with Jesus right now, their sins are already forgiven. Did you know that? Their sins are already forgiven. They just need to accept that. They need to accept that and begin their relationship with Jesus. But Jesus gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, is what Paul is telling the Corinthians. Now, since we've been doing this at this church, becoming a reconciling church, a restoring church, the gospel of restoration, which restores relationships with people groups. We have a book we're reading as a staff. It's called Dynamic Diversity. And it pretty much breaks down Paul's writings in the book of Galatians. Because there was, believe it or not, some serious racism going on in the church of Galatia between the Gentiles and the Jews. And then when you begin reading the epistles, Paul's letters, Ephesians, Galatians, Corinthians, Romans, all of them, he's dealing with this. He's dealing with people groups they're getting saved, right? They're coming to Jesus, and they're like, we're going to go to this church. And then they're like, well, wait, I don't like these people that I'm sitting next to. I don't like those people over there. Well, I don't like them. What are they doing here? And Paul had to put this in his writings. Listen, we are all one in Christ. We're all doing this together. And when you start realizing that reconciliation and restoration is a part of your Christian walk, you'll start seeing this more and more and more in the New Testament. It was something that Paul dealt in all the churches that he established. Imagine traveling the whole Mediterranean area, setting up these churches, and being so happy that people are starting to come to the church you set up, and then going, what do you mean you don't want to come here anymore because you don't like that people group? You love Jesus? Yes. Well, they love Jesus. Guess what? We're all in this together. And you can see that in his writings. So this is what the Christmas season is all about, restoration. And it's what we can so easily lose sight of. See, the very word that created us in the beginning is the same word that came in the person of Jesus Christ to redeem us and put us back together as a perfected creation. He sees us as perfect. Even my sinful nature has a hard time saying that I'm perfect. I know, Jerry, I'm close to perfect. But you know what? God sees us as perfect. We are perfect. You are perfect. You are perfect. We're all perfect. But if we go around saying that, we're going to sound kind of, right? Nobody wants to hear that guy next to me is perfect. So I just put perfected. It just helps me. But we're perfect. God sees us as perfect. Everything that you look in the mirror at yourself and you see all the flaws and you know the things that trip you up and the things that you know you shouldn't be doing that you're trying not to do, but you're doing them, God says, you are perfect to me. I understand your weaknesses. I created you. Nobody knows you better than me. To me, you're perfect. You're perfect. That's why this is the best news we'll ever hear. The gospel of restoration. The best news is that God is with us. He's not distant. He's not disconnected from us like sometimes we think. He's with us in our daily walk, in everything that we do. He's not too busy to spend time with us. He's with us in our pain. He's with us in our heartache. In the midst of confusion, he brings peace. He is with us, and he is for us. Think of the things that you're struggling with right now. There is nobody rooting for you more than Jesus. And you're saying to yourself, I can't come to you right now, Jesus, because I'm dealing with this issue. And he's saying, I'm the one that can help you deal with that issue. I've been rooting for you this whole time. You and I can overcome this. He's here to show us what life is meant to be like because he is here to offer us the fullness that life has. And those aren't just my words. This is what Jesus said when he was referring to himself as the good shepherd to those who put their trust in him. He said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, my purpose is to give a rich and satisfying life. And that's not money. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of money in this world that could help that verse right there. I consider my life rich and satisfying. Are there obstacles? Are there challenging times? Are there, you know, moments where I'm like, whew, man, life is tough. My entire life in Jesus, my wife, my children, my family, my church family, my job, tells me that everything you deal with that gets you down, that overshadows everything. Everything we have here in Jesus, our relationships, this is what that's about. My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. The devil wants to beat you up. The devil wants to bring guilt. My purpose is to bring satisfaction. And he's not, well, it will be like that when I get to heaven. That's not what he's saying here. That's not what this is about. This is about while you are here on this earth, with all the stuff that you go through, Jesus says, if you look past that, it can be rich. It can be satisfying. We know life is hard. Think of all the stuff you deal with. Maybe you're dealing with broken relationships. Maybe you're dealing with a severed relationship. Maybe you're dealing with financial woes. Financial Peace University is where you need to go. Maybe you're dealing with unforgiveness for yourself or somebody else. Whatever it is, life can be hard, and we know that. But here's what Jesus is saying. I can get you through this because my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. I'm the one that helps you overcome all of that. And the reason that Jesus is the one that can help us overcome all of that is because when he walked this earth, he suffered the most gruesome death on the cross so that he could be the one to offer us forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. He's the only one that can do that. And if you ever think nobody knows what I'm going through or what I've gone through and why I'm like I am, well, we touched on that a bit last week too. Jesus does know, because he's our very creator who experienced the hardest and most difficult things on this earth that a person could experience, and he overcame them. He overcame them, all of them. That's why he can help you through all of that. That's right. You can say, well, yeah, but he's Jesus. No, he didn't. Some people say he flipped on his God powers and he flipped them off. Nope, he did not. He was a man while he walked this earth. He suffered as a man. See, here's the deal. We are under the penalty of sin, and the moment we put our trust in Jesus, he removes that penalty from us. Well, I want to read a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 5. It says this, starting in verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Just in case you're thinking that. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation, the penalty of sin. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. This is what salvation is all about. It's more than just forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. That's the vertical part of the cross. That's the part that we focus on, right? Because that's the easy part. All right, Jesus, I accept you in my life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And Jesus says, you're in. You're already in. I was just waiting for this to happen. Now your eternity is secured with me in heaven. That's the vertical part of the cross. But see, salvation is all about restoration. The restoration of our relationship with our Creator, vertical, and the restoration with our relationships with all of those around us, horizontal. That's the challenging part. See, restoration and reconciliation, they go hand in hand, and they both give us a fresh start with others. Even though we, as believers in Jesus, have to be the bigger person to restore a relationship, it's easier. Because you may just be ushering somebody else into the kingdom. Maybe that's what God wants you to do, is step up, restore that relationship. Because in that will be the anointing, the blessings, the rich, the satisfaction, all the things that Jesus has for us. That's the horizontal part. That's our life here on this earth, restoration. This passage in Romans, it tells us that Jesus came to give us a fresh start. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at the right time and died for us sinners. Think about when you first put your trust in Jesus. Was it at just the right time? It was at just the right time, right? Like maybe some of us were like, this was it, man. I mean, this was the lowest of the lows. If my life gets any worse than this, I'm a goner. And whoosh, all of a sudden, Jesus comes. He comes at the right time. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. When you become a new person, it means that you start doing new things, going to church, praying, worshiping God, restoring relationships. Amen. Jesus comes at just the right time in all areas. If you're waiting for him, continue to wait and pursue what it is you're waiting on, because at just the right time, he's going to show up. He's more concerned about reconciling the relationship and keeping it than he is about remembering our past. And in doing so, he wants to give us all the rest and help that we need. That's why he said in the Gospel of Matthew, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy loads, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I could go on all day about passages where Jesus will show up for us. I know you guys read your Bibles probably more than I do. Oh, and pick up a Bible reading schedule. We have those for the new year. And search the Lord. If you don't think God is speaking to you, pick up a Bible reading schedule, because that's how he speaks to us first and foremost, is through his word. And maybe if some of these things I'm talking about today are challenging to you, pick up a Bible reading schedule and let God speak to you about that. So we'll close it with this. You know, when we feel like we can't go on one more day, when it's that challenging, when it's that hard, when it's that much of a struggle, there is a verse, and it's kind of one that we throw out there and we just you know, like maybe sometimes we've used it so much it doesn't have the weight it used to, but it's in Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. If you can't go anymore, spiritually you're worn out, physically, mentally, you just can't do this. I'm trying to restore this relationship, God. They just won't have it. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. You lean on that. You press into that. You talk to him about it. God, your word says this. And he'll begin showing up. He gives us all that we need to get through life and more. And as we close out this year and as we close out this Advent series, you know, we can meditate and we can think about all the reasons that Jesus came to the earth. To bring us all the joys that can be experienced in life. And the thought of a creator that wants nothing but the best for us, man, to me, that's rich. The creator of the universe looks at each one of us, says you're perfect, and I've got the best life has to offer for you. And then I pray, as followers of his, that we are reminded every day that he is with us. And that we have a message of hope that can be shared with those around us. As a follower of Jesus, you carry that torch of hope. A message that brings light into a dark world. A message that brings peace in the midst of confusion. A message of a Savior that understands each of us and wants nothing but the best for us when we call upon his name. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much, God. I thank you, Jesus, for how challenging your word can be. And I ask, Lord God, that if there are people in this room today that are like, that is challenging, man. There are people in my life, or there's things that have been done to me that I really struggle with this. I think Jesus wants you to know, that's okay. But stop struggling with it and help. Let me help you with it, because we can overcome it together. So God, I thank you for your message of restoration. I thank you for what this year has brought Vineyard Community Church, and I'm excited to see what the new year has in store. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.